And Rural Connection is here to shine a spotlight on a very tight-lipped industry. Duboisia is a native tree that contains a powerful narcotic in its leaves. Now, Big Pharma has caught wind and farmers have been sworn to secrecy. This morning, I'm joined by Professor Robert Henry from the University of Queensland Alliance for Agricultural and Food Innovation to learn more. Professor Henry, good morning. How are you?
Great, thank you. Good morning.
How did Indigenous Australians use Duboisia and how was it adopted by Westerners?
Well, from what we understand, there's fairly widespread use in the way that we would use a chewing tobacco. And it was used effectively as a narcotic in that way traditionally for a very long period of time. But more recently, the commercial production we've seen in areas like King Arroy have been based on varieties that have been bred from the wild ones by crossing them to combine the high drug content of some varieties with the growth rate of others. So an industry has developed to produce this for things like motion sickness.
Right. Okay. So the effect of the drug itself is like calming our stomach? Is that what it does?
Yes. So it's used for a range of applications, including preventing nausea after you're coming out of a general anaesthetic. But probably best known for motion sickness, which a large proportion of people would take from time to time.
Yeah, right. Okay. What makes King Arroy the best spot in Australia to grow Duboisia?
Oh, well, I think it is the soil and the climate. One of the species that is used in the commercial production, it grows just in the King Arroy area. So it's the natural environment for the plant. And certainly it seems to grow much better there than elsewhere.
How can farmers join the industry and how does this industry differ from other typical crops in their markets?
Well, it is a bit more challenging in that it's a very commercial process. There's a lot of money in these sorts of drugs, so it's very competitive commercial business and there are a number of companies involved and they all have their own growers effectively. So there's a limited number of buyers for the product and they effectively develop relationships with their own group of growers. And as you say, it's an industry with a fair bit of secrecy because people have their own varieties that they've bred that they believe have advantages over other groups, and that's where the competitive advantages lie. So that leads to a fair bit of secrecy in the way business is done.
These big pharma companies are DNA marking their varieties that they make to ensure other growers aren't planting them. How does that process work?
Oh, well, it's something that's used, of course, more widely to police intellectual property rights for plant varieties. So we see people using DNA analysis in everything from fruit trees to grain crops establish the identity of the variety and who might own it if it's proprietary. When you've got something that's high value like these drug crops, then it's worth the money and the effort to analyze the DNA and to be able to, I suppose, protect intellectual property or prove your ownership. That's something that's certainly done with the Duboisia industry.
How long does it take for a Duboisia tree to get to the point where it's you can farm it or you can, like, it's delivering a crop per se?
Oh, well, the plants can be grown over a number of years, you will get some sort of crop after a year. But what you're doing is cutting off the plant and letting it regrow. So there's a number of crops from a planting that is possible. So it's a multi-year crop.
Yeah, right. And are there other crops or pharmaceutical plants in the agricultural industry that are just as tightly controlled as Duboisia?
I think this is a fairly special example. I suppose the parallels you'd have to think of would be the poppy industry in Tasmania and those types of industries, which have also been necessarily fairly tightly regulated in that case.
Is there any kind of black market for Duboisia?
Well, I guess it's really difficult to know, as it isn't very clear what the scale of production is, or who the full list of buyers are, and where all the product goes, because it is all so commercially sensitive that much of that information is kept by the individual companies. So it's difficult to know a lot about the industry at that level.
Yeah, I mean, we did try to speak with some farmers some agricultural farmers, not pharmaceutical companies.
Yes, yes.
And none of the farmers would speak to us. They weren't able to speak and had signed legal documents. And I think that's the first time I've come across an agricultural industry where that is the case.
Yes, so it's a much more extreme commercial competitive environment than you would find for almost any other crop, because I guess the stakes are high and it is highly competitive. Having a supply of leaf with a high content of the active ingredient is considered commercially very valuable, and so those secrets are guarded, and that requires all the farmers to sign up to a higher level of secrecy than they normally would be associated with.
And obviously the pharmaceutical companies are making money out of this. Do you know if any of that money is trickling through to the agricultural farmers?
Well, it's very difficult to know. Much of the processing, of course, is offshore. There is some processing locally, but a lot of the leaf gets exported to Europe, to Africa, to India, and there is where the processing happens. So a lot of the value addition happens when you extract the leaf to produce the active alkaloid compound. So it's very difficult to know what proportion of that comes back to the growers,
yeah,
but
right.
Clearly enough for them to be growing it on a fairly large scale. There's a lot of production if you go looking around Kingaroy at the moment, so it must be attractive for those that are involved.
Yeah, and I guess I know the region. I grew up in, I went to university in Brisbane, and I know the Kingaroy region for peanuts. Are there many peanut farmers making the switch to do Boysia?
It does seem that this is a much more attractive option than peanuts, and so one of the things that this does is push up the price of the land because it's very valuable. So I think many areas that were formerly peanuts would now be Jaboisia, and peanut production is probably, if anything, moving to other regions where maybe the competition for the land's not so great.
Yeah, right. Oh my gosh, Professor Robert Henry, I could talk to you all morning. I find this fascinating, but we have run out of time. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
All of that. Greatly appreciate your input.
Okay.